chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Tara Williams on the show today. Tara is an author, podcaster, and personal business development coach at Stalk Your Destiny. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So Tara, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for making the time to be on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You and I were talking, and my goodness, I think we have to give a shout out to our mutual friend.
Yes.
Lisanne Lobster, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And she's like, you two need to meet one another. And I think we probably met the first time maybe a year ago.
Yes, we did.
And have been talking about having you on the show. So I'm so grateful that we're able to make this happen. But let's just start out. I mean, my goodness, we've got so much to talk about. You are a mom, you're an author, and I didn't realize this, but now you have 11 books that you've authored, and we'll talk about that. You're a personal and business development coach. You've got 3 boys. You are a busy, busy woman.
Yes, I am.
Busy and blessed, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. And I know, Tara, that your mission is to get people to realize their true purpose in life, very important, and give them the tools to go step by step into their destiny so they may live a life of abundance and fulfillment. I don't know one person that wouldn't sign up for that.
Well, you'd be surprised though, people are not ready.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure you have to be ready, right? You can't force people to want those things in life. But for me, I'm all in when I hear that. So, you know, but I know, let's talk a little bit about how you grew up. I know that you grew up in St. Louis, so you're not a transplant. See, I'm a transplant. I grew up in Kentucky, in a small town, but we've been here for 38 years now. So I really do consider St. Louis my home. But you grew up here in St. Louis. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up.
Well, I grew up here in St. Louis and moved around a lot. I started out in the Melville School District, transferred to the Normandy School District around 5th grade. I was very active in high school, very active in church. And so I danced from 8th grade all the way up to my high school graduation day. I was in the choir. Basically, an overachiever is what I've learned because I was in the newspaper staff, the marching band, all those different activities. And then with church, being an usher, being a junior deacon, things like that. But I wouldn't necessarily, I mean, I could say I was raised in the church, but I can also say that it was very practical, learning from real life and learning about God as well. And so I've always been the child that kind of wanted to help, as well as the kid that wanted to lead and then also be left alone, you know, as an introvert as
Is
well.
Is that right? Wow. I would not have guessed that you would label yourself as an introvert. You seem so extroverted to me.
I am such an introvert. I am extroverted, I believe, when it's necessary. So So I'm okay with controlled spaces and I'm okay with small gatherings, but I will go around large gatherings if I have someone with me. And that person will definitely know that I am completely anxious and they would probably be helpful in that. It's helpful for me to be out with an extrovert in large crowds because they're comfortable and that kind of gives me a little bit of security being in that environment.
Right. Well, so you said something that made me chuckle. You said I wanted to lead. So, I mean, you had that leader, you know, moxie about you, obviously. What, you know, was there a particular area that, well, you said you were a junior deacon, so you probably had some of that. But, you know, when was your first entree, would you say, to your into leadership?
It probably was actually at church. It probably was being a member of the usher board. Well, I eventually became president of the usher board, president of the youth choir, president of the junior deacons. And I could say that it was by default, but it wasn't. My age was like falling in the middle of the older kids and the younger kids. So I guess somebody had to do it. And I was just on fire about God that I was like, okay, I'll do it. I don't care.
Oh, that's awesome. That was going to be my next question of you. Was, did somebody see that in you and tap you on the shoulder, or did you raise your hand? And it sounds like you were just like, I'll do it. You know, I mean, that took some courage and some confidence on your part.
Yeah. The part I left out about my childhood was child sexual abuse. And so starting to go to church at 12, I felt like God was saving me. And so serving at church was like my thank you to God, you know, because he saved me from something that I didn't realize at the time was reality. I thought it was a dream. And so that was my safe place.
Mm-hmm.
That was my safe place. So, and it was free. I could be myself at church.
Wow. I'm a little speechless right now because I did not know that that was in your background.
Yeah, I didn't put that in the bio. I probably should, but it's kind of hard to throw it in there.
And I'm sure, Tara, you have had to do a lot of work around that. And obviously, your faith has helped you through that too. But wow, I mean, for our listeners that this could be their reality too, I mean, what would you say about that? I had no idea that that was in your background.
I would say be prepared to do the work because when I deal with clients and just individuals with mental health, it kind of always goes back to our childhood traumas. And for me, I didn't face mine or start to seek therapy until 20 years later from the first encounter. And even with that 20 years start, I still had to be very adamant about facing the pain. And so I would just say, you know, usually the trials that we face in life, especially early on, prepare us for the triumphs that we achieve later in life, because now I can advocate for those people that have dealt with some similar things, which many, many people have surprisingly dealt with that. And I can let them know, that's okay. You're okay. It didn't break you. And it could have broken you, but it did not. And now how are you going to help someone else? You know, and with that, that's kind of how I got into with my community group, Tea Time with Tara, because I was seeking healing for myself. And in that, I gathered with God, my time with God, that you have a voice and it needs to be heard. And for me, that was the very first encounter I had with the enemy stealing my voice, because I believe that's where the introverted protective shield comes from. Because you can see there's this big personality. And so I would just let the listeners know, don't shy away from being your authentic self and don't feel guilty for something you did not have control of or a choice in. You can be free from that.
Yeah.
And it does take a lot of hard work and dedication on your part.
Yeah, and it's probably not a one and done thing, Tara. It's a process.
It's definitely a process. It's definitely a I've been in therapy since I think I started group therapy 2014, but then I've been seeing a therapist regularly since 2016. And the work doesn't stop because there are things that still come up in your relationships, things that come up in your daily life, how you treat people, how you interact with people, that each level you have to face and deal with at that time. And most of the time we run from those things like, I'm just not dealing with that today, or that's just my personality. And that's not true. This is something that either triggered you or that you adopted, again, as a protective shield. And we have to face that. And in our involvements, in our relationships, mostly is when it comes up, different parts of different things, or I don't like this because of this. And you really have to realize you don't like it because it causes you to be triggered. And then you have to face that trigger and be accountable for it, because the person around you can consider you, but if they don't know what's going on inside of you, then they don't know how to respond to what you need. And mostly it's not their responsibility to do that. It's our responsibility to check ourselves when we have those moments and just figure out, like, pray about it, get some therapy. Like, why do I feel like this, and address it?
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your vulnerability. Seriously. Like I said, I'm still speechless. And I am sure, Tara, that with the number of listeners that we have, there are going to be people that are listening that this is really going to resonate with.
Yeah.
And they may have felt the shame or the guilt in thinking that it was their fault. And it's not their fault. But I love the hope, you know, that you speak of. It is part of who you are, obviously, but you can move forward. And so I know you well enough to know that if there is a listener and they have this in their past and they've not felt free to talk about it, that you would be more than open, you know,
absolutely,
for somebody out to you. And in fact, that's who you are. You want to help people. That's why you've authored 11 books, girl.
To help people. Yes. I wake up daily to change lives. Yes.
Yes. And I mean, that is your higher purpose. And I love it. I love it. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit. I chuckle at a few things. You call yourself a chaos coordinator.
Yes.
And I'm like, I need a chaos coordinator right now in my life. But you say you really challenge people to think better, do better, and live better lives. And I absolutely love that. And I think, you know what? I think you got the order right as well, because we do need to think better.
Yes.
We do better, don't we, Tara? So what would you say about that? What would you say about being a chaos coordinator?
I would say, first of all, I love being a chaos coordinator, because most of the time people have this big mess of a life. And when people reach out to me, they're like, I have a lot going on and I'm pretty sure you're not going to handle it. And on the one end, I'm like, well, why did you call me if you think I can't handle it? And then on the other hand, I'm like, bring me your mess and then I'll make your plate. And so I'm able to lift the burden off of them, because they kind of just, they come and they just blurt out things and they really think that it's going to be hard for me. And it's really not. For me, I'm able to identify the distorted thinking of what they have on their plate, identify what's missing, and then allow them, you know, to, through talking, allow them to figure out what needs to be added here and how to make it realistic for themselves. So think better by problem solving, doing better by doing the action work to overcome, and then living a better life because you've identified what it takes, what you want, and then you do it.
I love that. Bring me your mess and I'll make your plate.
Yes. Because I can't stand chaos. I'm OCD. I cannot dwell in chaos, but I can help you fix yours. Because And that's something else, too. Mental health, you know, is such a stigma, but I utilized my labels as my strengths. And so my OCD is how I can organize or coordinate chaos of others. I can help them to organize what they're dealing with and make it easier for them by using what people call the weakness, which is, you know, having a mental disorder.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. I have never heard that before, but that is brilliant. Using your OCD, your obsessive compulsive disorder, to help other people bring order out of their chaos. That is just, that is amazing. Well, I know, I do want to talk about mental health because, you know, you have the book Until and Then Again.
Yeah.
And Chronicles of a Narcissist Wife. So mental health is something that traditionally, Tara, we don't talk about a lot, but it's something we need to.
Yes.
And it's something that, you know, because there's a lot of people, and especially even, I don't know the stat, I have not read the stat recently, but even the last few years with the isolation, I was talking to someone not too long ago, and she was just telling me about the struggle of one of her children with the schools being shut down. And the isolation and the, you know, so, I mean, I know, and I don't know the exact stat, but mental health, anxiety, depression, honestly, has been at an all-time high the last few years. But, you know, you talk about it, the Chronicles of a Narcissist Wife. So tell us a little bit about that story, if you would.
Well, the Chronicles of a Narcissist Wife, well, Until and Then Again, the Chronicles of a Narcissist Wife, that is actually, that was my voice on paper. And what I mean by that is when you're in a narcissistic relationship, and just to be clear for the listeners, a narcissist can be male or female. It does not matter what your gender is to be labeled with narcissistic personality disorder. Multiple people can have narcissistic traits, and it's not always bad because you can use those traits in business and things like that. However, people with narcissistic personality disorder, their victims typically are isolated. Their victims typically do not have a voice. Their identities are taken by the narcissist because of the isolation, because of the abuse and all forms of abuse as well. So the book was an accident. It was that I felt like, even though I had like my bestest male friend ever, I had him that I could talk to every day. My relationship was so up and down. It's such a crazy roller coaster that it drained him. And I had him to talk to. I had God to talk to. And so this really was my journal. It was just me dealing with what I was feeling, expressing what I was feeling to the person or thing that would listen, which was my pen and paper or my notes on my phone. And so God had revealed to me that I had a book in that. And I was wondering, well, what would this book do? And what it does is it shows the inside of what a victim is dealing with, because you can't tell looking at somebody like, oh, you were in a narcissistic relationship. Yeah, whatever. You can't tell looking at them, because once you come out of it, if you do the work to heal, you get better. But if you don't do the work to heal, you just look distorted. And my little brother even said, I look like a battered woman in my marriage. And I was wondering, well, why wouldn't you say something, you know? But everyone has their own weight to bear. And so this book is a voice for victims of narcissistic abuse or narcissistic relationships. And again, it can be for male or female, but you see my delusion in self. You see how I literally lost my identity. I wrote in the book, I'll just disappear. I'll just fall into my roles as a mother and a wife. And I didn't notice that till I was getting ready to publish the book that I wrote when I lost my identity. And so it's a really raw and very true. None of it was made up. It literally is my notes from my marriage to someone that has narcissistic personality disorder.
I am sure this is going to resonate with a lot of people. We do need to take a quick break, Tara. I have so much more. I have pages and pages of notes here. And I hope that we can like touch on a few more things, but we do need to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Something Extra podcast with Tara Williams.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Tara Williams. So Tara, you know, we left off talking about your book, Until and Then Again, Chronicles of a Narcissist Wife. You know, if our listeners, if there's someone there out there that's listening and they are sitting there going, wow, I think I'm a victim of a narcissistic relationship, but I don't know how to move forward from here. What would you say to that person? What do they do next?
What you do next is, before you label it, though, you know, educate yourself. Educate yourself on mental health disorders. And I would say just start with the one that you think it is and ask for help in terms of seek therapy for yourself first, because a therapist can identify better what you're dealing with versus you just Googling it and trying to just be a Google doctor. No, seek actual help, because we do mislabel a lot of people as narcissistic, and that is not the case. However, if you really are in a relationship with someone that has that personality disorder, I would say definitely seek therapy and then create a way forward in terms of an exit plan that is a safe strategy. Now, my narcissist divorced me. I was never leaving him. And so I felt like I was someone that could navigate it, even though I was horribly depressed. And, you know, I was not where I am today. And so understand that you cannot fix a narcissist. There is no cure. However, therapy for yourself and even therapy for the person that you may be having troubles with, suggesting that is definitely a way forward for a way out.
Yeah, very good. Great advice. Tara, we got so much more to talk about. I mean, we've already talked about this. You are such a faith-filled woman. Yes. You know, here's what you say about yourself. You say that both your experience, and we've seen that today. I mean, you've had a lot of experience in your life, and your faith in God qualify you to be a great teacher. Yes. And I love the way you put that. You know, putting those two things together is what gives you the qualification.
Yes.
Really, to teach others. But I want to dig into this. I mean, again, you've written 11 books. I want to talk about your earthly branches, the 12 book devotional series. And one of the things you and I have talked about offline is the way you got this structured, you say that there's a daily question.
Yes.
And I love that. It's like one daily question that you can focus on a day. You know, it's probably a reflective. I have to ask you, and I'm putting you on the spot here, but what is the question for today, Tara?
Let me see. Today's question is, are you finding satisfaction in your work? Like in the work of your hands? We know in Ecclesiastes, it tells us, you know, everything is meaningless except to eat, drink, and be merry and find satisfaction in the work of your hands. So are you finding satisfaction in your work?
That's a good question. Yeah. It's a really reflective question. So I love it. I just love that. And I'm keeping it simple kind of person, you know?
Yes.
You know, keeping it simple. That's why I love choosing the one word for the year or the two. You know, the last 2 years, I've not been in compliance, Sarah, I can tell you. Because last year, it was my one word, which was really two words, was love more. Mm-hmm. And I have a friend that is a branding expert, Bill Ellis. You may know that name. He was a marketing executive at Anheuser-Busch. But he said, it's okay, Lisa, just put a hyphen in there and you'll be in compliance.
Okay.
And then this year, my one word is be still, which is really not one word. But yeah, I was failing miserably at that for about the first quarter of the year. I'm doing better now though, Tara. So I'm doing better at being still. I love the simplicity of the question of the day. I love that. So let's talk about your company, Stalk Your Destiny. Why did you name it this? What do you mean by that when you say Stalk Your Destiny?
Well, I mean that, so Stalk Your Destiny began when I actually went to group therapy for the child sexual abuse. And while there, the ladies were saying, you should be leading us. And I was like, well, I'm here to get help too. So I'm here with you. I need help. And from that, it was Stalk Your Healing. But because the topic was so painful for me to deal with, the fact of other people being hurt in that way as well, that was too heavy for me to handle at that time. Then I went to my OCD and I said, well, what am I good at? I'm good at organizing. So business, I can help people with business. And the name Stalk Your, that first part of it, came from like stalkers. Stalkers have such a bad reputation. You hear the word stalker, you just immediately think negative things. But in this case, stalking your destiny is literally stalking something that belongs to you, because we can go after all the things that don't belong to us, but what truly belongs to us is our destiny. And that's the thing we give up on the most. So why not be like a stalker and go after your destiny relentlessly? And if you fall, trip, get arrested, whatever, you know, stalkers do, get back up and keep going, because they don't give up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, because they don't give up, right? And that's what you're talking about. So yeah, don't give up on your destiny. Well, you have a book that's titled ABCs to Stalk Your Destiny. And I love this. Again, see, I'm a simple person. I love simplicity. And so the way you've got your book structured is the ABCs, literally.
Yes.
So A stands for accountability. B stands for balance. C stands for chance. D stands for direction. And so you talk about each of those areas. So I love that in the way you structured that.
Yes. And actually, that's where the Stalk Your Destiny company, that was the basis. That is the foundation for the entire company. It's the ABCs to Stalk Your Destiny. And so that interactive book is literally just for leadership purposes in an individual or a company. There's actually a course that goes with that and everything. And so it's just doing the work to get from point A to point B. And these are the things that you need to stalk your destiny, because in Stalk Your Destiny, we focus on identity, which is who you are. We focus on direction, which is where you are and where you want to go. And then we focus on the accountability, which is how you're going to get there. And so then outside of that, with Stalk Your Destiny, the purpose is to mend, mentor, and motivate. And so this book kind of gives you that encouragement along the way of your path, the insight. And I love what one of the readers said. She said she loved the application of it, with it being interactive. You give so many business books that just leave you with knowledge and nothing to really do next with it. And so it gives you all of that in a very easy to read book. It's not something very lengthy. It's just from A to Z, simple as 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so girl, I have read part of the book, okay, but I will tell you, I did not read to the end.
It's okay.
So I have to ask you, what is the Z?
The Z in Stalk Your Destiny is zeal.
Oh, that's an awesome word. I love it. I love it. Zeal. Yeah, I think about, you know, passion for life, passion for, yeah, that's wonderful. I love it.
Yes.
Well, oh my gosh, we've got so much more to talk about, but I know we're running out of time here, but I'm just going to park on this for 1 minute and then we'll talk about something extra.
Okay.
You talk about a morning routine and you say we can often, and I see it especially in women, Tara, we can often overlook ourselves. We can overlook us. And to me, a morning routine for myself, anyway, I'm speaking from just Lisa's experience, it's imperative.
Yes.
That I have that, or I'm going to be off. My stool is going to be wobbly that day. And I know you believe in that too. And you say, I've got to have a clear heart, a clear mind, a clear soul. So how does Tara Williams, what is your morning routine? How do you get that clarity of mind, heart, and soul in the mornings?
To be clear, I think that a morning routine, morning would be the quotational word, because it doesn't matter what time of day you do your routine. We get stuck in the morning part of it and think, well, I'm a night person or whatever. It doesn't matter, but your morning routine is something that's very, very important. My morning routine currently is not where I want it to be. However, it still contains everything I desire. That is quiet time when I first wake up, breathing, identifying areas of my body that still work, the systems of my body, movement, you know, everything. Thanking God for the activity of my limbs. It's a prayer. First gratitude, then prayer. And then if I can, I go into, on a perfect day, I would probably go into music ministry, getting up and moving around. I would go into a sermon or a motivational video, usually both, because it's never one or the other with me. It's always a sermon or something. And if I'm led to before or after that, then I will just do quiet time with my Bible and my prayer journal. And I think that most people don't understand that if you want to strategize your business as a believer, turn off everything and open up a journal and your Bible, because everything that I do and everything that I have was not my idea. All of this came directly from God. I wanted to be an attorney. None of this was my idea. It all came from my time with God. That's the most important part of my morning routine.
That's beautiful. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's just important. And to your point, everybody's morning routine can look different.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a time to get centered. It's a time to, I love the way you put it, get clarity of mind, heart, and soul. Because if you're going to be the leader that you need to be, Tara, you got to take care of you first, right?
Absolutely.
I always say you can't pour out what you don't possess yourself. How can you do that? Because you're pouring out of an empty pitcher.
Yes.
All right. Well, let me ask you, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs, Tara?
The something extra that I believe every leader needs is transparency. Because every leader is responsible for changing another person's life. And if we do that with a mask on, then we're leading someone down the wrong path and we're not being real with them or ourselves. So I think the something extra we need is transparency and authenticity. Be your authentic self. I was nervous about today, and in my revealed journal that I have, my message for today was be you. There's nobody else like you in the earth. And so I was like, I can do that.
And you did it beautifully.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for just being you today, because you're brilliant and you're awesome. And I just know that this episode is going to help our listeners. So, you know, I know you're about helping people, and I know that the things that we've talked about today, Tara, I know are going to go out and help people. So thank you so much. So tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you, what's coming up that you're excited about, just how can they get involved?
Okay, I can say this for people that are looking for growing their personal relationship with God and they don't know really which way to go, what to do. You can look into my Earthly Branches daily devotional series, because that can help you. It's separated into monthly devotionals, which is why there are currently 6 of the 12 published. You can, if you're looking for leadership growth in yourself, in your organization, you can purchase the ABCs to Stalk Your Destiny book. If you just need to read it, something that you can relate to, then there are other books as well. I have my This Love, His Love novel, which is about finding love God's way. I have my book Permeate, which is rants and lessons on life and love. And the Until and Then Again, Chronicles of a Narcissist Wife. Those are informational and relational books that can still help to change your life and your mindset. All of my books, all of my products, because I have apparel, I have a line of planners and journals. All of those things can be found on my website. That's www.stalkyourdestiny.com. And that's S-T-A-L-K, like a stalker. You can find all of that on my website. And that's also the way you can connect with me, is through the website or any social media, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn, but I'm not really active on LinkedIn, but still messaging on those either through Tara M. Williams or Stalk Your Destiny.
Very good. Well, Tara, thank you so much again. I so appreciate you making time to be on the show. This was so much fun for me. I feel like I've had a therapy session. So
thank you.
I so appreciate it. And thank you. And I can't wait to see you in person soon so that we can give each other a big hug.
Thank you. Me too. And actually, it's funny you said this felt like a therapy session for you. I was interviewed by PBS 9, and the producer said that that interview felt like a therapy session for her as well, because I was letting people know that if you're depressed, it's okay to fight, and it's okay to eat a meal by yourself or find that time or that one thing you can do for you.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Well, thank you again, Tara, for making the time.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.